blessed. Jesus said, blessed. Really? Did you hear that list of things that Jesus said were blessed? The Greek word is makarioi. You think we translated it right? Are you sure that those people are blessed? Are we sure that that's what Jesus meant? The poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, those people who are desperate for righteousness, the merciful, the innocent, the peacemakers, the persecuted. That's the list of people who are blessed? Ah, well, see, here's the thing. Makarioi is a really hard word to translate from Greek. It could be translated blessed. So maybe we just translated it wrong, right? Maybe those people really aren't blessed. Here are the other things it could mean. Fortunate. Are those the people who are fortunate? Do we think of those people as fortunate? Joyful. I don't think of those people as joyful. Deeply happy. To be envied. Well, we commonly call this passage the Beatitudes because the Latin Vulgate translated that Greek word, makarioi, as beati, and that means blessed. But I have a hard time with this being the list of groups of people who are blessed. And I have a study Bible for small groups that has questions for discussions in the margins, and so I went to that to see what questions it might have for this passage. And next to this passage, it had this question. Of the eight Beatitudes, which two do you most desire in your life right now? Well, if I'm honest, I don't want any of them in my life right now. I don't want to be a mourner. I don't want to find myself desperate in an unjust situation. I don't want to be poor in spirit. But as I read commentaries, I found that I was really bothered because a lot of times we make these Beatitudes sound really kind of happy. We've tamed what Jesus said that day sitting on the hillside, looking over the Sea of Galilee. We've made the Beatitudes sound simple. Jesus had been walking through Galilee, the region in Israel to the west of the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. And Matthew tells us that he'd been teaching in the synagogues in the towns and healing people, and word had gotten out. It had traveled all over. People were coming from all over, not just from Galilee. They were coming from Jerusalem and from the region south of Jerusalem. They were coming from the east side of the Jordan River too, even as far as the Decapolis. Well, the Decapolis was the 10 cities that bordered the Roman Empire there on the east side. They're coming from all over to follow Jesus. And Matthew tells us when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down like a king on his throne. And his disciples came like subjects in a royal court. And the king delivered his inaugural address, the Sermon on the Mount, laying out what life in his kingdom would be like. N.T. Wright compares Jesus' description of his kingdom to a scene in an old British film called Breaking the Sound Barrier. In the movie, test pilots, this movie is from the 50s, in the movie, test pilots are trying to cross the sound barrier in these new planes that can now go over that magic figure of 735 miles per hour. And what's happening is that as they approach 735 miles per hour and they cross that sound barrier, the planes start shaking to the point that they're disintegrating. And it seems like the plane just, the controls refuse to act properly and they end up crashing. Finally, at the climax of the movie, one test pilot, his name is Philip Peel, figures out what he thinks he ought to do. It seems that when the plane breaks the sound barrier, the controls begin to work backward. And so pulling the stick to make the plane bring its nose up just makes its nose go farther down. And so the only way to see if it works is to try it. And so Philip Peel flies to that critical speed, and he crosses the barrier, and instead of pulling the stick back when he gets to that point, he pushes it forward. Now that would normally do what? The plane would normally go straight into a dive, right? But Philip Peel's hunch is right. He pushes forward, and the nose comes up. And the plane flies on faster than anybody has ever traveled before. That's what happens in the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus describes what life in his kingdom is going to be like. Beatitudes weren't new. Statements of blessed are this group of people or that group of people were not new. The format was, this group of people is blessed who have this trait with this, and whatever the reward or the result is going to be. The Psalms are full of them. In fact, the beginning of the first Psalm is a beatitude. If you open to the book of Psalms, the very first line of the book of Psalms is, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The traditional Beatitudes said, happy are those who live their lives properly, who live their lives the right way, because things are going to go well for them. So just imagine being in the crowd there. You've come from wherever you were from because you heard about this man who was teaching and healing, and you came to sit down and hear this miracle worker speak, and he begins with beatitude. Blessed. Yes, talk about your best motivational speaker. It's like the suggested article in your news feed coming up entitled 8 Ways to Live the Life You've Always Dreamed Of. Here it comes. Click on it, right? The crowd settled in to hear the secrets of success, the secrets to happiness. And Jesus says the controls work backward. The kingdom of God is completely backward to the ways of the world. I think it is really important for us to put ourselves there on that mountainside and not try to spiritualize what Jesus said. We have a tendency in church to try to make things cleaner and neater, even in communion. Did you know that I got taught how to make my communion bread so that when I broke it, it divided perfectly? Isn't that amazing? You perforate the bottom. It's really great because then life is all neat and nice, right? It was easy. Is that really life in the kingdom? Because when Jesus took bread and he gave thanks for it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, it wasn't perforated, was it? It didn't pull neatly apart, did it? And somehow, when Christ's body was broken for you and for me, it was torn apart. It required effort. It was agonizing. It was arduous. When we remember Christ, we remember that he experienced the most horrendous pain. the most arduous struggle, the most humiliating death, the most cruel injustice. And when we tear apart the bread, I really believe it should be tough and jagged, because Jesus' body is broken and his kingdom is established for those who are broken too. Blessed, says Jesus, are the poor in spirit. And he doesn't mean people who are less than confident. He means people who are battle depression, those who have little hope. Blessed are those who cry themselves to sleep at night and struggle to get out of bed in the morning because they're grieving, he says. Blessed are those who follow orders, who don't rebel. Blessed are those who are desperate for righteousness, who suffer under injustice and oppression. Blessed are those who are in the midst of unrest and work hard for peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted, not because we are supposed to put ourselves in those situations, but because we all find ourselves in them. Blessed, says Jesus, are the broken. Blessed are the hurting. Blessed are the ones who are desperate because God is there for them, because they know their own limitations and their need for God, because their defenses and their independence are broken down and replaced with acceptance of their own dependence on God. Jesus' Beatitudes were revelatory. Brokenness is not a judgment, says Jesus. Struggle is not an indication that God is absent. Instead, pain gives an opening for God to bring healing. Struggle causes us to turn and realize that God is present, holding us closer than our next breath. And there, in the vulnerability of brokenness, we find blessing and realize that we are loved and we are blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen.